to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Lauren Coleman is online with us today on the Paracast. We're focusing on all sorts of cryptozoological subjects. And I thought before we get into more topics, Lauren, maybe we could kind of set maybe some of the newer listeners straight about all this, because, you know, when they think about cryptozoology, everyone thinks, okay, it's got Bigfoot and we've got a Loch Ness monster and this and that. What about the myths? What about the things that people know or believe or expect about this subject that are just dead wrong? Maybe go through a few things.
Well, first of all, the way I look at the field, cryptozoology is a study of hidden or unknown animals, animals that we're trying to find that may be new species or species that were recently extinct and that we can rediscover. Now, among the cryptids, as we call them, among the animals that we're looking for, there's what I call the celebrity cryptids. Bigfoot, Yeti, Loch Ness Monster, and during the 18th century, it was the sea serpent. So those are the big names. And of course, with our changing culture, another big one is chupacabras. So those are the ones that everybody wants. They come into the museum, everybody wants to talk about Bigfoot. But at any one time around the world, there's maybe 200 other cryptids that people are looking for and that they're actually trying to find. Now, the difference between myths and legends, myths are things that are made from human imagination, like griffins, like centaurs, things like that. Those are not part of cryptozoology. Legendary creatures, such as Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, that are based on legends, legends, of course, mean that there's some kind of fire beneath the smoke. Those are what cryptozoologists are interested in. Native traditions, legends, folk art, eyewitness sightings, and then we get into the physical evidence, footprints, hair samples, and then things like photographs. So that's what cryptozoology is all about. A lot of people come to me and they want me to send them everything I have for their term paper. That's pretty hard to do. That's why I've written 30 books, so they can read the books or go online or even use Google. But, you know, I do get those requests every day and try to help people. But it gets to be very frustrating because when I was starting in 1960, there was probably five of us in the country that were interested in Bigfoot and cryptozoology. And now it's thousands upon thousands of people, cryptozoologists in training. And they see a footprint in their backyard. They don't look in animal track books. They immediately assume it's some kind of cryptid. It's probably a squirrel or a bunny rabbit, but it happens over and over again. And the chupacabras has been a major problem because the original chupacabras in 1995 in Puerto Rico were all bipedal and all had little hair on them.
Right.
And then it morphed when it went to Texas Next Media, and it's become anything that's dog-like with four legs and doesn't have hair on it. And those are mostly dogs, coyotes, and foxes with mange. So that one area of chupacabras shows how crazy the media and the morphing of cryptozoological phenomena has become, and it's really got out of hand. And that's one of the most frequent, the mainstream media get hold of me. Christian Science Monitor finds a picture of a dead animal on a road, and they call me up and they say, "We think we found a chupacabra." And I say, "No, you found a picture of a dead raccoon." But it keeps happening, and it happens every spring and summer. So, and it's going to keep happening.
There's an item on your website, cryptozoonews.com. And it's called A Global Call for DNA Evidence of Cryptids. Now, I heard some time back they were trying to put that together, and it didn't quite come together. What happened?
Well, I think there was a couple situations a couple years ago. One was by a woman in Texas who was a veterinarian, and she headed a DNA lab. She tried to get hold of all of these samples of Bigfoot DNA, and different people would send in a stake of a Bigfoot or a hair, and she started publishing. Well, she got very upset because nobody would take her paper, so she bought a journal and then published her paper and started saying things like there was a connection 13,000 years ago and angels from heaven had mated with Bigfoot, and that was the result of what she was finding. In other words, she was very discredited.
Yeah, ouch.
The results. At the same time, a little bit later, Oxford University, through Dr. Brian Stikes, actually started collecting all of the hominid samples that he could from around the world, and he actually did it very scientifically and skeptically, and he actually discovered out of his hundreds of samples of Yeti hair that two of them matched with a 40,000-year-old ancient polar bear strand that back then the polar bear would have been brown. And that was kind of a lot of people in the media lost it. They said, Yeti is a bear, and that was the headlines. But what he really was saying and what he discovered is a supposedly extinct brown bear, a prehistoric brown bear that's the branch of polar bears that are branching off, has been rediscovered. The hair samples were from 30 years ago and as recently as 2007. So we still know there's something quite exciting out there that some people are saying, you know, is a Yeti-like creature, but the word Yeti is very global over in Nepal. All kinds of unknown creatures can be called Yeti.
Where'd those hair samples come from, Lauren, that were determined to be an extinct, polar bear, basically? Where'd they come from? The Himalayas?
Well, one of them was an individual who was a hiker over there, an investigator, and he was backtracking a report that somebody had killed a Yeti. He tracked down the individual that had done that in 1970s, got a hair sample, and sent it to Oxford University. The other one was with a documentary team in the 2000s that had gone over there to hunt for Yeti.
Yeah, gone over where, though? Are we talking the Himalayas, Tibet? What?
The Nepal.
Nepal,
Himalayas,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and they had found a hair sample in a tree. So these were certainly hair samples where we could track down where they were from.
Right.
In Nepal, and that they were in 800 miles apart with the samples, yet the creature exactly 100% DNA match with a jawbone of a ancient bear that was dug up in Norway. So it was quite an exciting find that I think really got diminished by the madness of the media.
Ah, the madness of the media. The bane of our
existence. Present company excluded, of course.
Well, we're not mad. We're just completely outrageous is the difference.
Correct. So the new project that we're talking about, the one that's mentioned on my blog, we're doing in conjunction with Oxford and a documentary film team that's where all the money's coming from, by the way. You know, none of the wealthy people or universities really fund anything. It's documentary film companies and television networks that are funding all of the new cryptozoology research, unfortunately, but that's the way it is. But anyway, we're gathering samples, whether they're mystery cats or Bigfoot or mystery bears from all over the world. And people are sending in some interesting things. I've got a sample, for instance, coming this week from France, some fecal material that was collected in British Columbia. So that's going to be interesting to look at that little Tupperware bin.
That's kind of a circuitous route. Somebody brought some fecal material to Europe, and now it's coming back to the U.S.?
Yes, because it's one of the best DNA labs in the country is the one out in Oregon that the U.S. wildlife people use to determine if you've...
Lauren Coleman joins us. He'll have more to say about that. DNA testing with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Springtime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So as we came to our break with Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist extraordinaire, how do you like that? Okay, I'm just boosting his ego because he consents to come on the show and deal with the likes of me and Chris, especially. Seriously.
Yeah, but I'm still having a problem with the taking. What did they do when they arrived in France? How did they declare what they had in that Tupperware container? It's like, do you have something to declare? You know, and it's like, yeah, I brought some, one of those seven dirty words back with me. And that would be a tough one to sign out a customs form for, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know, because we did have some. They wanted me to help them fill out the customs form on the way back, and I All I could say was scientific sample for analysis at the museum.
Well, that's all you have to say.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that would work. Yeah. I mean, as long as it makes it, then you don't have anything to worry about, except maybe your terminology.
I want to say fecal material and Tupperware. Probably wouldn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, somebody would probably, in customs, would probably try to smoke it.
Well, with the TSA, everything's going to be opened anyway, and then they can decide if they're going to keep it themselves or send it on.
How are you progressing with the study? How many samples are you you kind of having as a goal, and how many have you already gathered?
Well, we've got a little bit under 20, which is good since, you know, nobody, you just don't know whenever you put something out like that if anybody's going to send in things. But people are taking it seriously, and we have a few samples from the 50s that are already in the museum from the 50s and 60s. So we've got a basis, things from the Himalayas, things from a Bigfoot out west, hair samples, orang pindek from Sumatra, hair samples of one hair sample from Yowie from Australia. So it's quite exciting, and then we'll see where it goes. Depends a lot on whether or not the university and the documentary film company really get their act together. We're waiting and we're collecting, and we show people in the museum, of course, these samples because people don't really believe that there's physical evidence of these cryptids from around the world, but there are, and that's what keeps a lot of us going. And of course, as you may have heard, there was a brand new animal that was discovered, and a tapir. So those are those little animals with a little prehensile nose.
Right.
That was discovered in Brazil, and it was the fifth species of a tapir. And that's the largest animal that's been discovered, the largest mammal that's been discovered in 35 years.
Right. They also discovered a primate a couple of years back, the first America's primate, I think since the 30s or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, the interesting thing about the tapir is that Teddy Roosevelt had shot one, and there's been one at the American Museum of Natural History for 100 years, unidentified as a new species. So a lot of these things happen right under our nose, and we don't even know it.
It's fascinating. It really is. It's a big world out there, and there's lots of, especially in the aquatic realm, there's lots of undiscovered species in the rainforest. It's amazing that these larger animals, however, go for so long without being, you know, actually documented and classified.
Yes, but if you don't look, you'll never find them, and that's what's been going on. A lot of mainstream scientists just refuse to even consider that Bigfoot or sea serpents actually exist, and that gets them in problems when people run across these new discoveries.
Now, I remember reading some years back about a Japanese research vessel in the Antarctic that was they had filmed this giant, kind of a white blob kind of creature. It looks similar to a whale, but not really. And it had some Japanese name. Do you recall that? And what do you think of the possibility of larger aquatic animals existing in the polar and Antarctic region?
Well, I definitely think there was a study done recently that said within the next 25 years, approximately 12 new large species will be found. You may be referring to the one where the ship pulled up what looked like a plesiosaur, a big blob out of the ocean. That
exactly.
Turned out to be a decaying basking shark. So we have to be really careful and try to make sure that things that are misidentified don't go into the literature for too long as a sea serpent or whatever.
I'm just more and more fascinated where things can go with this. But the impression I get in just listening to you for the first part of the show is we're talking mostly here about unknown species right here on Earth. All right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Is there anything paranormal about them? I mean, a lot of people want to take Bigfoot and all these other creatures and send them into another dimension or have them emerging from a UFO. Is there any of that?
Well, first of all, we have to figure out what the word paranormal means. If it means outside the normal realm, certainly cryptozoology, if you're talking to a zoologist or an anthropologist who's been teaching in a university for a long time, they will see everything that you're doing in cryptozoology as either an awful word, pseudoscience, or paranormal. If you're talking to somebody that's a Fordian or within the field ourselves, here's where we have a problem, because a lot of people come along, and I'm a very biologically based cryptozoologist. My main focus is to see if there's new species out there. Does not mean that I exclude that there may be some other aspects of these creatures that are unexplained. For instance, is Bigfoot have a highly developed sense of telepathy that has gone unused in humans? You could say the same question for dolphins. Are dolphins using telepathy more than humans? It's just that Bigfoot hasn't been discovered yet, so a lot of people put that on Bigfoot as maybe an attribute that they might have. Do Bigfoot drop out of UFOs? I think that's a question that is totally ridiculous to my sense of research. I don't need to pursue that. There haven't been that many reports. It's exciting for a lot of people to go in that direction. To me, it's a dead sidetrack, a dead end to my research. But I don't diminish people who want to look into that, because I'm very open-minded that, you know, there may be a lot of answers out there. It's just not one I'm interested in, and not one that I've, like you noticed, you know, I've been in this field for almost 54 years, or over 54 years now, and it's one that I pursued, certainly with Jerry Clark. We've looked into high strangeness, Bigfoots and UFOs and all of that when we, you know, were back then. And it was really a pursuit that leads nowhere. So if people want to do that, fine. If that's the paranormal that you're talking about, sure, you're going to get people who are interested in Mothman, and they talk about Mothman and UFOs and Men in Black, and they ignore that Ivan Sanderson, John Keel, and I, in the early days, got the reports of Mothman, and they were all giant birds, giant owls, giant thunderbirds, whatever. They had nothing mechanical, nothing UFO-related, and nothing at all to do with giant moths.
Lauren Coleman joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So basically, there was nothing weird or unusual about the Mothman, Lauren Coleman. So what were the Mothman prophecies all about in that book from John Keel?
First, we have to start with, why was it called Mothman? It was called Mothman because a newspaper copy editor in Ohio was a fan of the Batman series on TV.
Oh.
He was tired of people calling it the Big Bird in the newspapers. He wanted a new headline, so he called it Mothman, and it stuck.
So you have the song Mothman.
So then you have John Keel, who's not a ufologist in his own words. He calls himself a demonologist. John Keel comes along as a demonologist. He wants to look for the creepy underpinnings of this situation. And you got to remember, Truman Capote and the whole notion of a crime novel, John Keel kind of took the same notion with the Mothman prophecies, which was not his name. It was the Saturday Review. His publisher gave it that name. The Mothman prophecies, really all it meant was that he thought there was a banshee-like element to the Mothman and that may have predicted the collapse of the bridge. But that's not what John was really after. He was just trying to mix together Mount Misery in New York, the Mothman, what his psychics were telling him, and try to come up with a good story, a good chilling story. And that's what he did. His book is brilliant. But it wasn't anything to do with cryptozoology or really even looking at ufology. He was just trying to make it into a creepy story.
Well, how much of that story do you think was real and how much was fabricated and just part of his writing style and dramatic content, let's say, to jazz things up? I mean, how much of it was real, do you think?
I think that you've got to look at what he did with his stories. You know, the Woody story where the creature's seen on the road and the
Dernberger?
Cole. Yeah, all
and
of
Ingrid Cole.
Ingrid Cole and the telephone calls to his room. And John Keel just took all of that and put it in a blender. And his writing style makes people reading that think that all is interlinked. It all came cause and effect is all related to each other. And I think that there may have been separate incidents. You know, some people that were olive complexion showed up in town. There may have been our Air Force officers around investigating stuff like this. Even if you start breaking it down, the Mothman sightings happened in the fall, and in the spring you had the waves of UFO sightings. Separately, he started hearing about cattle mutilations. Separately, he started hearing about Bigfoot reports. But John mixed it all together because that's what John did. So is it truth? Is it fiction? Is it fictionalized truth? I certainly think it's someplace in between. And maybe 60% of it, if you boiled it down, you could find was factual. But I think a lot of it looks like it's more than it is because of John Keel.
So he turned all this into a very mystical thing. It became one of his better-selling books, and he even got it made into a movie.
Yeah, and I congratulated him for that. I was friendly with him all the way up to his death. I don't diminish anything he did. He got to be a crusty old guy who hated us all, but, you know, that's okay. If you look at that edition that he put in the tour book whenever the movie came out, he hated everybody, but that's what happens sometimes.
Well, he was the ultimate trickster in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of unfortunate, though, that he was so bitter about things.
Well, he felt that, except for the movie, and he really didn't make that much off the movie, that he'd done all of this work and that all of these people came after him, standing on his shoulders. Lots of people didn't give him credit. A lot of people really didn't like him. And, you know, he got to be bitter at the end of his life and very poor, actually, and living among everything that he ate. He would just drop on the floor. I mean, his house at the end of his life was, you know, something for hoarders. So it got to be very, very sad, actually.
It sure sounds like it. That's so unfortunate. I know we tried to get him on the PowerCast, and it was his last year or two of life, and I think at this point he was quite sick, unable to do so. But when we had someone call him on the phone, I don't know if the conversation was concluded or not, but we got his phone number from Tim Beckley, I believe. And he called Beckley back, screaming at him, "How dare you let those people call me?"
Well, I had him agree to do a conference the weekend before 9/11. Down in Palenque, Mexico, of all places. That was back a few years, but he was still pretty chipper. He said, "Are you sure you want me down there? You know, if I come down there, you'll end up in jail." And I said, "Well, what do you mean, John?" He goes, I'll definitely get you in trouble." And I said, "Bring it on." So we, unfortunately, because of, it was actually the weekend after 9/11, and we ended up having to cancel. But, oh, well. Robert Anton Wilson laughed at us when I called, and he says, "I have a hard enough time just getting down the hallway." So,
right.
But well, Lauren, how about you? Are you still going out and doing speaking engagements? And if you're asked by a TV show to maybe travel somewhere, or are you willing to do that, or are you just pretty much kind of sticking at headquarters there?
Oh no, I travel extensively. I've given up on doing free things because people want you to come there and they speak and they don't want to pay your travel. And so it's interesting. I've kind of got into the last couple of years, some of the places that can afford you are casinos, amazingly. So I've been to Michigan, I've been to Florida, I've been to, you know, all around. But the other thing is, of course, with the museum in Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
That's
a lot
English,
of responsibility.
English, Spanish, Italian, Irish film crews come over to interview me in the museum because there's incredible amounts of artifacts there for their B-roll. So I do both, but I've traveled quite a bit. There's a big Ohio conference on Bigfoot that I spoke at in 2013 and 2011. I gave a keynote at a Bucky Fuller conference in Southern Illinois in 2011. So I I travel quite a bit, and I've got a few things coming up in Atlanta and up in Minnesota this fall. So I like to travel. I like to get out there and meet people, but I also, whenever I go to a conference, I usually try to build in one or two days to reinvestigate old cases or new cases, so that's always fun.
Yeah, that's important to really maximize these trips and really get several irons in the fire. That's what I try to do as well. Well, we're about ready to go to another break, but when we come back, I'd really like to get your take on the direction that Hollywood has taken these subjects, especially with emphasis on the Bigfoot shows and some of the monster shows that have been on here the last few years, and we'd love to get your take on that. And also your suggestions on how to make these shows more compelling in a real sense, not a dramatic sort of reality show sense. I know that's a big question, but...
This is certainly something we're going to want to ask in our next segment because we have about 30 seconds or 40 seconds. The key being here, of course, is that a lot of these reality shows are not reality in any sense of the word. And, of course, we have the experience of some of those UFO-oriented shows where they do pretty wacky things, like Hangar One, the one that's connected with MUFON. And, of course, the infamous, did I say infamous, Chasing UFOs, of which James Fox was a participant. And boy, did he tell us things about that one, really.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have Lauren Coleman, premier cryptozoologist and more, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Text GCN Live to 22828 or click on the banner at GCNLive.com. Enter by May 15th. You'll qualify to win a 6-month supply of storable food from MyPatriotSupply.com. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
Harvest Right is the world's first in-home freeze dryer. Freeze dry your own fruits, vegetables, meats, and full meals. With Harvest Right, you can prepare foods that last 25 years, preserving its freshness, nutrition, color, and taste. All your food can be freeze dried, so don't throw away your leftovers. Freeze dry them with this incredible in-home money-saving freeze dryer. Go to HarvestRight.com to see how the Harvest Right freeze dryer works. That's HarvestRight.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, premier cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman is with us, and we're really just glad he took the time away from his busy schedule to spend a little time with us. Now, Chris was talking about the reality show syndrome, as I was in the previous segment. Do you have some response to that, Lauren?
Well, first of all, let me pick up on the James Fox situation. I actually was just sent out to California. Tracy Tremaine and James Fox is doing this new movie, 701. Are you aware of that?
Yes, we talked about it two weeks ago.
And I'm the, out of the 40 people they're interviewing, I'm the only cryptozoologist they interviewed because, of course, some of our cases are unexplained, too. I think that kind of approach where you do recreations, you interview people, and you try to keep grounded in reality is something I'd like to see going from the documentary realm, a full-length feature, to more television. The old In Search Of was kind of exciting because a lot of people hadn't seen any of them explained before. And, you know, I had a narrator we all knew and liked. And then they would go out in the field and they'd look around and they'd interview witnesses and different things like that. What we've seen come along, of course, is something like Bigfoot Bounty, which was a combination of Finding Bigfoot plus survivors, where you have people try to, you know, they were voted off and different things like that. All of this is really scripted reality fiction in many ways. Finding Bigfoot, I like the people on there. I know them. And yet there's a formula. I was a consultant for 4 years for Monster Quest. And one of my big complaints is that they didn't go further afield. They went back to things like giant snakes and big rats, which had nothing to do with cryptozoology, because their marketing research said that people were interested in that. Of course, they started doing some of that stuff, and then they got canceled. Destination Truth is off the air, and they tried to do a combination of hauntings and kind of cryptozoology investigations, trying to really take on the ghost hunter sort of notion. So nobody's really come up with a good formula yet, 3 years, 4 years segments for these shows seem to be it. But what's amazing is despite how critical any of us can be of any of these programs, it gets new people interested. At the museum, I see literally scores and scores of kids, parents, teachers coming in that their major new experience with Bigfoot is finding Bigfoot. And they start asking intelligent questions. They start reading deeper books about it. They start being skeptical but open-minded. They kind of giggle about the show, but they're interested in the subject. And so that seems to be the key. these shows are
there's hope.
They're opening up new avenues of new people getting into the field.
Yeah, there's hope. That's really a good sign. I'm really glad you pointed that out. Kids are a lot more on the ball and intelligent than I think some adults would care to admit. I know I was when I was a kid. And it's important that kids can differentiate between pure entertainment and the real scientific reality behind a particular mysterious subject like this. And it's good to see that these shows are at least bringing forward some people that have good heads on their shoulders.
Right. But Finding Bigfoot, a lot of people watch it because the same reason they slow down on the highway when there's a wreck. You know?
Oh, boy. So, you said it. We didn't.
No. So there's some...
There is a fascination factor. I'm sure it's entertaining.
Matt Moneymaker yells at people, and everybody loves to watch that. Because,
yeah.
And that makes good TV. You know, you have to have drama for good TV, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Hangar 1, this recent show that's been on a few weeks that has MUFON's stamp of approval is kind of garnering some grumblings, I think, among the Paracast listeners and others out there that they're being kind of fast and loose with some of the affiliations that MUFON may have had with specific cases and how valid they were to even bring up to begin with. And I just hope we don't see a trend of putting official stamps of approval on questionable editorial decisions and questionable production decisions.
You know, what I'm hoping is that people get more and more intelligent about what they're watching. I mean, I've been on a lot of programs. I was on Lost Tapes, which a lot of people thought was nonfiction. It was pure fiction. And you get taped in an interview, and you say something like, I'm very interested in this creature, but it's not an alien. Well, they'll cut out, in the editing, in the post-production, they'll edit
it's
out.
It's called Franken-quoting.
Yeah. And yes, I was even on ancient aliens about the Montauk Monster, which of course they wanted to make into something from outer space. And I kept saying, no, we know that was a raccoon that lost its hair. And, you know, I didn't make him too happy, but I got up partially on the show. So, I actually taught a documentary film course for 14 years, and people would come back years later and say, that's the best course I ever had because I never watched the news the same way. I now know that they're actually editing those people to say what they want them to say.
Right. And Chris, didn't you go on a show where, I think it was UFO Hunters?
Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory, they took two quotes that I made and gave them the reverse treatment so that I was, instead of saying I don't think it was something, they were saying I thought it was something. And then UFO Hunters took a whole bunch of data that I was asked to recite about some of my particular theories about hotspot areas. And I was referring to my research in Colorado, and they made it sound like I was talking about Sedona, Arizona, where we were actually doing the filming. You know, that's a problem with Hollywood. They do play fast and loose at times. And it's these senior editing people who are the liaison between the production company and the project, and then kind of a linchpin between the network or channel that the programming is on that's beholden to the advertisers. And so there is kind of a tightrope act that many of these guys do. And then you have the outright mercenaries like Bob Kiviat helping, put on the Ray Santilli, alien autopsy fiasco. And he's still very proud of that. He thought that was one of his most successful things that he's ever done. So there's a certain mindset. You and I, Lauren and Gene, we're interested in getting to the truth. When you talk to somebody who's really entrenched in Hollywood, they're interested in entertaining people, number one, and also being beholden and agreeable by the advertisers and people that are putting the money up for these shows.
Right. Yeah, Bob did both sides of the Bigfoot. He came out saying that Patterson film was the greatest piece of evidence, and then he did a show showing that it was a hoax. So he likes to do anything to get ratings and money.
Jeez. Ouch.
Well, he'll take any side as long as there's a paycheck.
Yeah.
What side do you want me to take, folks? Okay, I will do that.
Well, that's why I use the word mercenary.
Right.
Well, there are other words, but then we do get to the seven dirty ones very close, at least.
Well, okay. I'm not going to slag anybody. I think Bob's a nice guy. I worked with him years ago, 20 years ago, when he was with the show Encounters, and he actually did a very good job on the segment we worked on together. But, you know, again, it's all in your motivations. If your motive, if the motive pure and the means correct, then you're doing the right thing in my book.
He was on with Don Ecker on the Paracast, and he was one of the few guests I had on who I wanted to just smack in the face. He was so overbearing. I think that's part of it. His manner was extremely overbearing, and you're trying to have a sensible discussion, and he wanted to be, I'm the big know-it-all. I know everything. And, you know, you have to temper things a little bit here.
No.
Because nobody knows everything, obviously. And in this field, the thing I think that separates the Paracast from the others is we don't think the answers are already available.
Yes.
That's one of the big things.
I got a wonderful opportunity on the new In Search Of series to be the senior series consultant and got to work with Alan Landsberg. And he actually was the opposite. He was very open to suggestions, very open to other people's idea, and not at all arrogant for a guy who put together one of the best series in the 70s
ever.
In Search Of.
Yeah,
ever,
yeah, the preeminent show. It was the X-Files of its time.
Right. And so there are some people out there, a lot of producers and directors that are good people, but a lot of them really are so full of themselves and do think that Hollywood is the center of the universe.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of them are just not up to speed in the subject matter. They're trying to get, you know, researchers, 23, 24, just out of film school, say, go research this subject. And they dive into the pool not knowing how to swim.
And so they sink on the way. Listen, we do the break now with Lauren Coleman joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. mbrower@gcnlive.com. That's mbrower@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.